starting out probably in John 16, but as a springboard, Psalm 27:8. Psalmist writes, "When thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you that when you call, we can answer. I thank you and praise you for that. Lord, that it can be well with our soul as we seek you, as you draw us. And Father, we thank you for that. I ask for the filling of your Spirit tonight, and that you would minister by your word, by your Spirit, for the glory of your Son, for the good of your people. Minister your word that we might be edified, that you might be glorified. Father, thank you for the good services this morning, the Sunday school classes for the children, adults, the worship service, dear God. We thank you that Anna could be back with us this morning. We continue to pray for her and lift her up before you, God. And be with Phoebe watching in the nursery tonight, and bless her in that ministry, Father. And Lord, tonight, just afresh and anew, would you encourage us with the truth of your word, and just speak to us, help us to be wise regarding your will and what you have for us, and build us up tonight. Make us strong in your word, and help us to be thankful for the grace that's been given to us in Christ Jesus, and how you've made salvation available to all. And Father, help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Excuse me. All right. Well, we have been studying what we refer to as the depravity of man. We've likened that to being dead in trespasses and sins. It's really kind of talking about the same thing. That verse that we saw the psalmist say there, "When thou saidest, seek my face, and I said, thy face will I seek. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." Some would question if that's possible. They would say, well, you can't really seek God's face until you're born again. Well, we're seeing, I think, a little different idea. Some take the idea of this dead man, which is a metaphor, and go too far with it. Any figure of speech can only support truth. A figure of speech cannot initiate truth. If you have a figure, think you have a figure of speech from some, or a truth from some figure of speech, and you cannot prove that truth elsewhere in the Bible apart from a figure of speech, then in fact you haven't discovered anything. And we need to remember that. And that's one of the rules of just interpreting and those things that'll keep us on the right track. Well, we know that apart from God initiating, that we don't seek God first, but we have the multiple promises in God's word of how, in fact, he does initiate. And we haven't, man left to himself would not seek God. But thank God we haven't been left to ourselves. Amen. And we can be thankful for that. Jesus said in John 16:7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." When he has come, he's going to do something. He says, "He'll reprove the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. Sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." So he's going to convict of sin and make us aware of our sin. We see throughout the Bible, God records the steps that God took to draw us to him and to minister to mankind. In John 1:9, John writes about Jesus Christ, "That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." So there's light given, I think, to every man that comes into the world. Jesus promised in John 12:32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will what? Draw all men unto me." And so there we have that promise drawing of God, that light coming to all men, and we are commanded to take that message out. We have the Great Commission as a church. We saw this morning, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So not only can men respond, men are commanded to respond, and rightly answerable for it if they do not. And so we find no contradiction in God's character or in the Word of God when it is rightly divided. We are commanded to take this gospel out. There are multiple examples of people being drawn progressively to the Lord, to salvation in Scripture. We saw last week the man that was born blind. He believed, first of all, in a man named Jesus who healed him. And then he said, what do you think of him? He said, he's a prophet. And then he found out, he said, well, he must be a worshiper of God because I was born blind. That's never happened before. And the man's been healed. So this man is, he's not a runaway prophet. He's worshiping God. And then Jesus came and found him and said, do you believe in the Son of God? He said, who is he that I may believe? It says, well, I'm the one speaking to you. And so he says, Lord, I believe. So we see he went progressively in his faith to the point where he believed in the very Son of God, Jesus Christ. And we see that time and again. We remember when Jesus ministered to that woman at the well. He made that trip on purpose through Samaria. The Jews, most of them, they would on purpose go around it, wouldn't they? And Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria, because he had an appointment. He wanted to meet with that woman there at the well. And so he witnesses to her. He talks to her, and he likens his message to the water. She was coming there to seek water at the well there. So he talks about eternal life as you know, being the water of life and eternal life and such. She's eventually there at the well, and John 4 says that he says, if he had asked him, if you knew who I was, you asked me, I'd give you living water, you'd never thirst again. And she says, well, give me this water that I don't have to come hither again and draw. And what did Jesus say? He says, well, go and bring thy husband. And she says, well, I don't have a husband. And he said, yeah, that's well said. You said, I think you have had four husbands, the one you're with now is not your husband. Well, she began to realize that he was a prophet at least, and working that gradual. And then what she answered to him in John 4:25, the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh. There's faith. I'm looking for Messiah. I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Then John 4:30. What did Jesus say? I that speak unto thee am he. Here I am, he says. And she went, and guess what? She believed. Her faith was progressively growing. She had received the light that Messiah was coming. She was a Samaritan, though despised by the Jews. She believed in the truth that Messiah was coming. Others apparently had told her. And when Jesus said, I am he, what? That she just kept on receiving that light like she was doing, and she believed and went there and told others. And by the way, there were others involved. God used in bringing her to that light and to that knowledge. When those Samaritans, she went back and told the town there all that had happened, and so they come out and remember the disciples had come back from town and brought bread back there, and Jesus told them, you've heard it's harvest is near. He says, lift up your eyes in the field, for they're white already unto harvest. Many believe that maybe at that time the Samaritans were now coming out to the well there, and Jesus was saying, look what's coming. And so many of them believed as Jesus stayed around there for a couple days and preached the gospel. Many believed not only because of what the woman said, but what Jesus said. And what did Jesus tell his disciples as they began to share in this reaping process of these Samaritans believing as they heard the truth? Jesus said in John 4:38, I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored. And you're entered into their labors. other men's labors were used by God to have a part to bring them to that salvation that they're now believing. That's what Jesus was saying. There was work that went on before this. You see, it wasn't just a boom and now you believe. There was work in the heart preparing that. There was the receiving of those truths along the way. And then more light received as Christ revealed himself. Others had labored in that and shared those truths to them. Others had taught others in Samaria about the Messiah as well, no doubt, as this woman had heard. And so they received that. We think about that Ethiopian eunuch that Philip witnessed to. He was in that revival in Samaria there, and God says, I want you to leave there and go down into the desert. What does he see? He sees a chariot, and God says, go run, join yourself to a chariot, Acts chapter 8. And what's he doing? He's reading Isaiah. He's reading Isaiah 53, isn't he? So Philip runs up, you know, understand what you read, understand, is that what thou readest? How can I accept some man help me? And so he calls him up into the chariot. He begins the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. What happened? God was working in the life of that Ethiopian servant. He'd come to Jerusalem to worship. Right place, huh? But that's a good thing he did, wasn't it? That unregenerate man. He came to the right place to worship to Jerusalem. And by the way, he was in it enough that he bought a scroll of Isaiah and was reading that thing. He was searching through it. And by the way, he was searching, wondering, questioning that. That's a good thing, isn't it? Searching the scriptures. That's what I read. He was doing all those good things. What was happening? God was drawing him, and he was responding. And then finally, God said to Philip, go get him. You know, go get him. He's ready now. And there's a reaping time. And Philip went immediately and led him to Jesus, right from the scripture he was reading in Isaiah 53. Cornelius is a prime example of this, of God's gradual leading of people to salvation, gradually giving them more light and more light. And as they receive it, giving them more light. In Acts chapter 10, verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. A devout man. By the way, that's a good word. To be devout is called, especially by the scripture, by the inspired scriptures, is a good thing, isn't it? And one that feared God. Fear God with all his house. This is, by the way, still an unregenerate man, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Sounds good to me. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And he looked on him, and he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. That term oughtest is not just a suggestion. He's saying, he's telling you what you must do. Your openness, your answering to God's calling, your receiving God's light, Cornelius, thus far is acceptable to God. But I'm warning you, it's not enough right now, because there's some more light you need. And so you need to send for Peter. He's going to tell you something. And so when the servants get there to Peter's house, they said to Peter, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God and of good report, we just read all that, didn't we? Among all the nation of the Jews, was what? Warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. So it was good that Cornelius had received the light thus far, but he was not yet born again. So it would not be good if Cornelius now what? Began to reject light, right? And that would not be good. But he's warned of God. You need to go send for this man. And so he does. Of course, we know the story. Peter goes, and he preaches to them the gospel in Acts chapter 10. Soon as they hear about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ from Peter's mouth, and that Jesus died for our sins, and that all who would believe be justified from all things, before he can even finish the message and give an invitation, the Spirit comes down upon them, and they're filled with the Spirit. All that believe are what? Born again. They're regenerated. And Peter notices that in Acts chapter 10. Here's Peter's comment about that. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." You see, Cornelius and those in his family that believed already what? Feared God and were working righteousness. That it was working. God was showing them light. They were receiving it. There was a work of God going on there. And that was acceptable with God. His alms went up as a memorial before him, before God. And then when God sent that message to them, just like he did to that seeking Ethiopian, because they were receiving more light, then they received that light and were saved. Acts 10, 34 and 35 is a perfect picture of Romans 2, 3 through 28. We'll look at there for a moment. Romans 2, 3 through 28. And here, I believe, is a outline of the progressive leading of God of people to salvation. Now, I want you to notice that in Romans 2, 3 through 28, some people say, this is the way that all mankind has gone. Well, that can't be true. Because before Romans 3:28 is done, they're having vile affections. Men are lusting after men, and women are lusting after women. I'm not trying to be hard on homosexuality. All sin is wrong with God. But are all people homosexuals? No, they're not. All people are not. So that passage there can't be talking about all mankind in general. It's talking about a way that mankind can go. It's not talking about the way that all people in general have gone. We know that because of where it ends up. So, Romans 2:3. "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" Now, let's figure out who he's talking to here. He's talking to a person who somehow thinks he's better than someone else as far as salvation goes. Romans 2 and 3 is talking about justification before God. So this person here is judging someone, the people in the previous chapter we just talked about. "Well, I haven't gone that path. You know, I haven't gone to the place where I have vile affections like that." And so he's talking to that kind of person who might think that maybe because they haven't got that bad that they're okay as far as salvation. "Think of now this, O man, that judgeth them as do such things, that and doest the same, that thou shalt be judged." Well, what such things did they do? Well, let's look back in Romans chapter 1, and we'll see who he's talking about here. Who are these people that this person is judging, and what have they done? Well, the Bible is talking about those who receive the light of the truth of creation. In Romans 1:19, "Because that which may be known of God is what? Manifest unto them." What's that mean? Clearly shown. "For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him," God, "from the creation of the world are" what? "Clearly seeing," and I like this, "being understood." They were given light and they understood it, okay? "By the things which are made, even as eternal power and Godhead," so what? "So that they are without excuse. Because I have given you all a message in your heart and mind and conscience about me being the creator, and it is understandable and clear. You are now" what? "Without excuse." Deny the creator, you have no excuse. Reject this light, you may not receive any more. Okay? Did these particular people reject that light? Yes, they did. Read on in Romans 1. He says, verse 21, because that when they knew God, what? They glorified him not as God. Choice. They knew there's a creator because of creation, but they refused to glorify and look for, to seek that creator. And they weren't thankful to the creator, which their own conscience had taught them. So they glorified him not as God. How could they have glorified him? Believe in the creator. Well, I don't know who he is yet. Well, just believe he's there and start seeking him. Okay? They glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but what's the next word? But became. Doesn't say, but they were vain. It says, but they what? Became vain. Why did they become vain? Because they glorified and not as God. For the light that they knew that showed that he was God. They became vain in imaginations, and their foolish heart, what's it say? Was darkened. You see, here's a progressive spiritual work going the negative way. These particular ones have rejected the light that God's given them. Their foolish heart was darkened. They rejected the clearly given light of the Creator, because the creation taught that, his eternal power and Godhead. Their self-professed wisdom was really foolishness, and in doing so, they led them to idolatry. Look at verse 22 in Romans 1. Professing themselves to be wise, what's it say? They what? Became fools. Do you see that? The fool has said what? In his heart, there's no God. Okay, there's a creator, but there's not really. They didn't glorify him. They didn't believe and begin seeking for that creator that clearly is there by the message of creation. And they changed the glory of God, of the uncorruptible God, into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. These people became idolaters. And they made images and such. Look at verse 24. Wherefore God what? Also what? Gave them up. Oh, well, my Bible talks about God drawing all men, and God, it's the light that lighteth all, every man that comes into the world. But what happened to these? They didn't keep receiving the light. What did God do? God gave them up. This is a path going the bad way. Not the way Cornelius went, just receiving. Not the way that eunuch went, just receiving. Not the way that the woman of Samaria just kept receiving, and those Samaritans were receiving. These people are rejecting. God gave them up unto uncleanness, lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. They changed the truth of God into a lie, worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this cause, what's it say? God gave them up. There it is again. Unto vile affections. Gave them up. They glorified him not as God. They became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. They became fools. Even as they did not like to retain God in knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now, do we see in here a people described as vain in their imaginations, a darkened heart, fools, given up of God, given over to a reprobate mind before they ever made a decision about believing in the Creator? No, we don't. We see a progression, a digression here, because they didn't receive the first light of the Creator. It was all downhill from there. The fool has said what? In his heart, there is no God. If you don't believe in the one God Creator, it's all downhill from there. You got to start searching that. So they refused to believe the light that God had clearly given them. They became vain. They were darkened. They became fools. They were given up by God to uncleanness. They were given up to vile affections. They were given over to reprobate mind. Listen, the depths that man can go have not yet been discovered. But that doesn't mean that all men go there. Okay? And there are those who what? Believed and didn't go to the depths that these went. So thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, Romans 2:3, and doest the same. Oh. Well, they're judging them because they obviously haven't gone to those depths, but they have what? They have done like things. When it comes to justification before God, what? They have sinned against God as well. And just because they didn't go to those depths, these people that would judge them have sins in their lives as well, don't they? And God says what? You're accountable for those. Because creation tells you I'm there, but you keep seeking, you're going to find out I'm a perfect and a holy God. And just because you didn't go to the depths these went doesn't mean you're still not answerable to me, to a holy God. Just because your sins didn't perhaps go to those depths doesn't mean that your sins will keep you from being condemned. Because God's a perfect God. We're not saved by our righteous works or righteous living. And so they're given a warning. Verse 4, Romans 2. Or despisest thou the goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing what? That the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You that have judged those who, as far as you can see, have done far worse than you have. And by the way, they got there because of all the light they rejected. And you haven't been perfect either. And what Paul's writing is, don't you see that God in goodness is trying to, even as he did them, he's trying to what? Lead even you to repentance. That's what the goodness of God, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. The goodness of God is leadeth thee to repentance. He's forbearing, he's long-suffering. Don't you know the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But what happens? After thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath, hardness impenitent, not repenting, not receiving the light, coming to a stop where it's not received. You treasure up unto yourself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Now that word deeds is defined in the next two verses. I'm not talking about good works here. What are those deeds? Well, here's the good part. To them who by what? Patient continuance in well-doing, here it is, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. What did the rejectors of God's message of creation fail to do? They glorified him not as God. They stopped seeking for glory, for God's glory. You see, they would have been still involved in well-doing if they believed in the Creator as the creation demanded. But when they, in that sense, rejected that light, they ceased in their well-doing as far as God was concerned. They were not yielding to the light. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing, what's God doing? He's drawing, he's drawing, he's drawing. He expects us to do what? To yield, to yield, to yield. And all this is coming up to salvation, folks. Coming up to salvation. And those who seek what? Are going to find. The psalmist said, thou shalt seek my face. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. When God draws us, we can answer. They seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. So those who yield to that light, what's going to come their way? Eternal life. What did Paul say to Peter when Cornelius was ready? Go get him. What did Paul say to Philip when the eunuch was ready? Go get him. What did Jesus say when the Samaritan woman was ready? I'm going to get her. You see, seek what? And ye shall find. You follow that light that God gives you, it shows you there's a creator. God says, you know there's a creator. You are now without excuse. Since you know there's a creator, now you are indebted to seek him. Because if there's a creator, then he's also your Lord. And your creator is the one who tells you what to do and how to live life. If you know there's a Lord, you know there's someone that made you, then he has the right to be the Lord of your life. So you now are responsible to seek him. Find out who he is. Find out what his will is. And begin to seek that and to find that out. And guess who will reveal it to you? God. I don't want a Lord. I'm happy being king of my own life. You're going to wind up like maybe those people in Romans chapter 1. And we see that. So the good part is to them who by patient continuance and well-doing see for glory and honor and immortality what comes their way, eternal life. Yeah, because you can't seek God, and you can't, as God draws, you can't in turn seek him and not find him. It just doesn't happen. But, and here's the negative part, unto them that what? Are contentious and do not obey the truth. What truth do they not obey? The command. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the command. That's the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If you Romans chapter 10, you obey the gospel by believing the report. Unto them that are contentious, well, I like my sins. And I have to ask forgiveness of them? A little contention there. A rejection. A resistance to the drawing of God. Now, they obey not the truth. They don't believe it. The command is to believe the truth. But they obey unrighteousness. Whatever reason they refuse to obey the gospel is what they obey. Got to repent of your sins. But I don't want to repent of my sins. What have I obeyed? Unrighteousness. I have said, I want to hang on. I don't want to believe that because my sins are precious to me. That's what that person that rejects the gospel is. I'm not ready for that. So what do? As they're presented with the gospel, they're presented with a choice. Listen, God loves you. You can either now receive him and receive his love and turn from your sins, or you can reject him and hang on to your sins. You're picking one to love above the other. You'll either love God at his drawing and receive his son and receive his love, or you'll reject God. Why? Because of the love for your sins. There's a dichotomy there. Humanity is divided into two. There are those who hear the gospel, what? And they choose God. The drawing of God is working. And at that point, they what? They choose God. They choose Lord Jesus Christ over their sins. Right? But those who reject him, what? Choose their sins over salvation. They choose to stay in their sins. That sheds a little different light on John 3:16 through 18. We'll study that in a future lesson. Where, again, there's a dichotomy. There are those who believe, and the Bible describes who they are in John 3, and there are those who don't believe. And the Bible in John 3 describes the salvation of them who believe and receive the gospel in John 3, and then it describes the condemnation of those who hear the gospel but reject it. That's the dichotomy in John chapter 3. It's not just talking about the general condemnation that's over all men because they're lost in sin. It's not what John 3 is talking about. It's talking about those who hear the gospel, John 3:16, and then gives the result of that. They that believe, whosoever what? Believeth on him what? Should have everlasting life. But he that believeth what? Shall not see life. So it has to do with all about the decision made about the gospel. And then describes the condemnation for the rejectors and the salvation for the receivers. And we'll see that as when we look at that in another passage. I'm not going to try to even begin to dip into that tonight. So we want to obey the truth. We want to receive the light that God sends our way. And as we do, we will be among those who seek for glory, honor, and immortality, and eternal life. I remember in my own life the working of God before I got saved. Just coming to a point where I was empty and a sinner who just sin just, I mean, it was more of a, I don't know, it seemed like it was more of a prison to me. I knew it wasn't saved yet, but it just wasn't as fun as it used to be. I knew it was destroying me and those that I loved. I didn't have the answer. I didn't know what to do. God was what? Getting me ready for the gospel. Because I believed there was a God. And I, as a matter of fact, one lady witnessed to me and handed me a tract on the sidewalk when I was coming back from work. She was one of those gospel tracts. If you'd die today, 100% sure where you'd go, that you'd go to heaven. I told her, I said, well, 100% sure where I'd go, it wouldn't be heaven. I believed in heaven. I believed in hell. I believed in the return of the Lord. I believed Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And I wasn't born again. But all those truths were what? We're still, God, in His mercy, He was still leading me to repentance. You see, I hadn't rejected apparently that light that He'd given to the point where He was going to turn me over yet. He has that prerogative, doesn't He? He's God, and we see this continual working. And I hope this will shed light on some of these patches, as we'll see that some passages are used to teach the general depravity of man, so that man, you know, can't do anything good or can't believe. And they're saying it covers man's lost estate in general. We'll find out as we study the context of them. No, it really doesn't. It's talking about man's condemnation in a specific context. Whether it be Israel disobeying God and facing Babylonian judgment to come, or the response to the gospel in John chapter 3. And well, matter of fact, even in Romans 3 and such, there are specific contexts in which there's none that doeth good, no, not one, fit under. There are specific contexts that is confined to. And we'll see that as we study those out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word tonight. And I thank You, Lord, for Your mercies to us. It's amazing, God, who could have imagined that You would do what You have done for us to accomplish our salvation and to pay the price that was needed to save us, Lord, and that You would go ahead and make this world and make us, knowing that our rebellion would come, knowing the cost that You would have to pay to redeem us, knowing, Lord, that Your love for us was so great that You wanted the fellowship with us, You wanted us to be in heaven with You, and though comparatively few would be saved according to Your word, yet the way was made for all. And we understand that no one will stand before You and be able to say, I didn't have a chance. Lord, we won't be able to say that. God, You will have sent light. You will have drawn. You will have worked in every heart that you have seen fit. And Father, we thank You and we praise You for Your great love. You wouldn't have died for all men and then seal some away from ever being able to understand it, God, or receive it. We understand regarding little ones and such, You can't understand. We understand that Your grace cares for them and takes them to be with Thee, Father. But as we grow, help us to continue to receive that light. Help those that we witness to, Father, we pray that Your Spirit will continue to convict them. And Father, that we might even see others also continue to receive that light and come to a place, dear God, where they would even receive You as Savior, as You work on their hearts and they hear the gospel or pick up that track once again. Father, would You just work in a mighty way there. Our loved ones, Father, perhaps we've prayed for many years, might You continue working. Might we not cease to pray for them, Father? Might we understand that many have been saved after being prayed for decades, Father, and help us not to give up praying for one another and souls might be saved and lives might be changed. Thank You, God, for Your mercies toward us. For Your goodness that does work to lead us to repentance. And Father, what we'd have no hope apart from that. but we do praise you for it. And we ask that just you continue to be glorified here and we'd be edified. And Father, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother Charlie, would you come close us tonight?